If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Ooh, chubby boys with the chubby little toys. That's you. I see you over there with your chubby toy, your iPhone 7. It's broken. Get a new phone. I'm going to do this. I'm going to shame you on the show.
You're going to publicly shame me for being a conscientious consumer. It still works. Yes, it's slightly broken.
Barely
sure,
works.
I get shards of glass in my finger, but it works.
We keep having these fucking... We have real phone calls. We have business phone calls that you do answer on your phone, and it looks like you are fucking in the middle of an insurrection. Like you are, it's just smeared with Vaseline from your hand grease. Like you just got to get a new phone.
Well, that's a phone isn't going to make me less smeared in hand
you
grease.
You just got to get a new phone.
I think this is more of an indictment on my personal hygiene.
It is. I will also say that. You got to wipe your hands. Wipe the camera. Even I do, and I'm wet.
Wow. What did not know. Shots fired, folks.
That's
what's
how it
up,
is.
Everyone?
That's how I'm rolling against the hellish rebuke today. I roll underneath it. I'm going to stealth myself for fucking around it. I got a 40, and I'm going to fucking roll my fucking stealth, and I'm going to go around it.
That hellish rebuke is in my pocket, burning a hole in it right now. I can pull it out at any time. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. Hope everyone is doing all right. Hope everyone had as pleasant of a weekend as they possibly could have had.
Chubby boys and their chubby little toys. I don't think, there's a lot on wrestle going on. I don't know if people are having that pleasant of a weekend, but I will say that I think that the cops should be more afraid of people. And I think a part of what they should do and start thinking about more is watch the documentary. We've already plugged this, Tread, about the killdozer.
Oh, yes.
This is what I'm saying. If they're allowed to have tanks, we should be allowed to have tanks.
I think we could buy a tank.
But we either buy a tank and we have community tanks. There should be a community tank next to the police tank where you can all have it. It's at the fucking barber's house.
This is a much better idea than robot cops. Now you're really getting Kissel on board. I can be the mouthpiece for this proposed plan.
Every small town should have one civilian ran anti-aircraft missile. I'm
fine
just thinking
with that
we should
too.
Have
did you see what's going on? There's drones over Michigan. They're slicing tires in Minneapolis. Henry, you have never been more on point in your entire shirtless life. Yes, Henry is not wearing a shirt.
I'm not wearing a shirt.
I am staring at this bizarre Polish Italian man's hair. It has no idea what it's doing, but it is definitely on his body.
It is. It naturally forms into a sweater and it naturally does. Forms a little hole for my turtle-like head. And that's just the way fucking the Lord made me. And I am blessed for that. But I'm saying I have a tankman's body. Right? The
you
same
do.
Thing with like my father. My father was a mariner, a submariner. I have a submariner's body. I should be in a little tube. And again, every community. And then what you do is every 6 months, you vote to who gets to be the pilot.
I love it, of course,
why
Mr. Zabrowski.
I'm going to just say, because I'm going to go on the record saying, I don't think the cops should have one.
I'm with you on that.
So if we're going to have fights, I want tank fights.
Hey, buddy, it's not just a fun video game. It's now real life. I am totally with you, Mr. Zabrowski, the hairiest seaman of all time. And you, his son, I think I nominate you, Henry Thomas Zabrowski II. You will be the first one to man said tank, and I believe you could do a lot of damage.
Load it up. Well, bringing the war to home.
You got to fucking get those treads out. Fucking, unfortunately, I might kill some dogs in the process, and I don't want to.
Don't kill any dogs.
You got to get out of the way to the treads.
Well, of course, and I think they will. They're very intuitive when it comes to warfare. Speaking of not great weekends, we have been covering this story. What seems to be a year and a half, 2 years.
It might be a year. It might be a year. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow. Woo! The cops are finally starting to take a little bit of action.
Wait, this was one of those fun times. We try to wait as long as possible before recording side stories so that we could get, because it's always like fucking something breaks as soon as we record and you're like, I want to talk about that. But we got this right as we were sidling into the studio. Mm-hmm. Chad Daybell is arrested after human remains found at Idaho home. I want y'all to go back. I can't recap it again. Look up Chad Daybell. Look up Lori Vallow. Two mm-hmm. self-made prophets that believed that they were the chosen ones. It seemed to be that they viewed so many dead bodies are attached to this couple. Yep. Lori Vallow's kids have been missing now since September of last year.
Mm-hmm.
But now with AFI, this is breaking news. Chad Daybell, he has been arrested after human remains were found at his home in Rexburg, Idaho. These kids have been missing. They said that they were on vacation.
It's a long vacation.
I don't think kids should have vacation days from being kids, because that's called being dead.
Absolutely. Of course, they were at Camp Crystal Lake. If you take a look at what I would assume their corpses appear to be these days, slashed and brutalized. Unfortunately, it has taken so long because the first time the cops raided Chad Daybell's home, they weren't able to find anything. My question is, what was so difficult when it comes to finding human remains the first time? Were they still sort of believing the story? Was Chad Daybell walking behind them and telling them where to go? Oh, you don't want to go in there. That's where we keep all of our extra soap. Nothing to see. Like, what was he doing to stop the cops from going into the area where their children have their remains?
Well, we don't know if they're the kids' remains yet, but we...
If they're not the kids' remains, then we're in a whole nother problem.
I'm covering us legally. I'm covering us. Don't worry. That's how, I'm always thinking that. But
I just nominated you to dominate the police with a killdozer. What do you mean?
But that's different. That's fucking. I'm a wartime general, right? That's what I do. I create distractions. That's mostly my job.
But it
says right here, Rexburg PD, with the assistance of the FBI and the Fremont County Sheriff's Office, are serving a search warrant at Chad Daybell's home in Idaho. This is from Kim Powell, who is a reporter for AZ Family in Phoenix, Arizona. Now it seems like maybe they didn't have access to the entire farm. Maybe there was like something they had to, we're not really certain, or maybe it's because the FBI is now involved, but it seems to be, several remains were found, but now he is in jail. Lori Vallow is now thankfully in jail. They are finally at least caught. And hopefully, I hope that we can actually bring some rest to this story.
Absolutely.
And that these kids can actually be laid peacefully to rest, because this is absolutely, it's been a heartbreaking story. But man, the fucking movie that's going to come out of this shit is going to be out of control.
This is going to be a John Stamos feature. Not to diss Mr. Stamos. I believe he played one of the Mr. Kissels in the two Mr. Kissels. This is going to be a Lifetime film. This is never going to the big screen. Matt Damon ain't sign up to be this cult leader. Who also, did you know this? Chad Daybell was a former grave digger.
Hey, man, I guess that he just went back to his alma mater. What he decided to do, to fall back on his old college days and get back to burying.
I've never heard of a cult leader. I've never heard of a grave digger turned cult leader before. Well, but
Joseph Smith, man, fucking grave robber, turned into fucking religious founder, turned into human prophet. We will see what happens. But you know that there's several layers of film, right? You'll have the big film, the big summer movie that'll come out with like Chad Daybell, like played by like, I'm gonna maybe say out there, like, who's a good one for Chad Daybell? Tom Hanks. Right?
Tom Hanks just played Mr. Rogers, Henry. Why would he do this?
Actors are always looking for challenges. Look at Kevin James, just played a serious neo-Nazi in that movie Becky.
Kevin James, he has comedic talent, as we saw with his stand-up special.
He's switching
when he was talking about waiting in line for greeting cards. It was very funny. And he also did a great bit on muffins.
He also has a really funny bit where he says that he goes up, someone asks him if he's sweating, and they ask him if he was doing jump rope in the attic, and he says, no, actually, I just peeled an orange. He has some funny material.
He's got some funny bits.
But you got Chad Daybell, so I would put her up there, right? I put Chad Daybell, maybe, but somebody like a Tom Hanks, that level. And then you got Lori Vallow. I'm going to say, in the Lifetime movie, Lori Vallow will be played by a recently released Lori Loughlin.
That's what I was going to say as well, because now she's hardened. She understands. She's probably learned a little bit about the criminal element. I think she's hotter now than ever. She did her time, and now I think it's...
She hasn't done it yet.
Well, she's doing something.
She
doing
hasn't
something.
Done it yet. She hopefully
what
will
was
be
the
very
one that
soon.
Did the time? There's another one. A Felicity Huffman.
Go to jail?
She went to... One of them went to jail. Felicity, I believe, went to jail. Whichever one went to jail, you get the reward of now playing Lori Vallow in a Lifetime movie, which, oh my God, you think about the accolade that you could get with that. You could win upwards of an Emmy. And what's more exciting than an Emmy?
Actually, a daytime Emmy. Because you know what's fun about the daytime Emmy, from what I've heard, is that you can drink at the daytime Emmys, and actually the primetime Emmys, even though they're fancy, are actually quite boring because they don't serve any booze or food.
That's why it's never good to be successful. If you really look at people who go to the Oscars, you see these award shows, they're all bored as hell. You can't do anything because really, you're just acting again, and your role is to be a prop or an actor who has just lost.
The Golden Globes is where you go to get hammered.
That's where you go to get hammered. So,
well,
that's
so
what
we'll
you
find out.
Do.
Lori Vallow, and I guess like for the primetime movie, the big old movie, Lori Vallow would probably be played by, unfortunately, a Scarlett Johansson. Because then they'll go younger. Dude, they'll go older. Girl, they'll go younger.
All right. I got nothing wrong with ScarJo. I'm sad Black Widow hasn't come out because of this dang COVID. But hopefully that'll come out at some point soon. Not my favorite character, but also... I'm here for it. That's what I said.
Wow.
I'm here for it. Well, speaking, so we will keep you up to date on what's going on with Chad and Lori. This is the biggest development that we've been able to cover because the cops have finally put these two behind bars, most likely where they belong at this point, once you find human remains in that person's home and their children are on a 9-month vacation, we can assume something has gone awry.
Something has gone awry. Have you seen the new super cool streetwear on the street? Called
no.
shieldheadwear.com. It's new. It is, no. This is not a fucking joke. It is aluminum foil clothes that they are selling to block you from any sort of energy weapon.
It's 5G. So this is predicated upon the conspiracy of 5G.
This is another one. And so we had several listeners that went and actually, they guess someone did that 5G shield, that like USB thing that was sold. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's nothing in it. There's literally nothing in it. Just a fucking plug. But this has got shoes. They've got underwear. This is €39.
Oh,
for a
my
beanie.
Good.
For
well,
an
that's...
aluminum foil beanie I'm looking at. This is really, really interesting. It's got eyewear. I don't know what that does.
It's good for the eyes. You can't let the 5G get in there. That's the direct passage to the mind. I mean, that's
but
just the railway tunnel to the brain.
The glass is just open. They're still slapping against the fucking eyeballs.
Well, you never know what's going to happen.
Last podcast on the left is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You don't want to miss Fluid Engine, because if you do, it ain't coming back around. It is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. So let's say, we're doing well so far. We're moving these picks. If you want to move the Judge Reinhold non-clothed edition of a horse picks on the Clydesdale, you can drag it straight to your cart. It's that easy. You also can drag an entire giraffe ride trip for your family, because daddy gets the back of the head, right? You just drag that from the option menu straight to your cart, and don't delete, because I'll know if you deleted. I'll know if you did it, thanks to Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.com.
Hey, Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it cost, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage. It's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Yeah, basketball! Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Basketball! You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. That's all it takes. You got to make the right picks, and it's simple to play. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. It's incredible. Prize Picks, it's easy and fun. And if I were you, I would be keeping my eye on that LeBron James, famous basketball player. Is he going to get more rebounds this week, or will it be the next week? Will he get more points this time, or the points will be worse than the last time? All I know is I like his shoes. And I like his outfits that he wears from the bus to the locker room. But I can't pick those. But if I could, I would. Download the app today and use code LEFT for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code LEFT for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
You mentioned technology, Henry. That reminded me of this story that we must cover about cell phone chargers. Do you know how you lose your cell phone charger all the time?
All the time. I have to be like, when we're traveling, I'm it's always horrible. Like looking for a charger. I'm always just trying to find it. It's like, you know, how many of these do I blow through? 5, 6, 7 a month?
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting in the back seat as we're driving to the next gig, and I just hear
10 a week.
And as soon as Henry starts doing his Porky Pig, man, do you have another charger? Then it's like, oh my God, yes, Jackie, here's my charger, sure.
Yeah, well, that's your impression of me. I think that's interesting. But yeah, so why do you bring that up?
Well, may I recommend you do what this Indian man did? This is a recent story from the CNN wire, only covering the most important news. This dude went to the doctor. He said he had some abdominal pain. The doctors were like, I don't know, man, take a diuretic. You know, maybe this is going to help you out. It turns out he has a sexual fetish where he puts things inside of his penis. In this case, he was able to shove a 2-foot-long phone charger cable into the front of his penis to the degree that it ended up in his bladder. There's a picture here that apparently these doctors just leak, which I don't like this. If I go to the doctor...
This is irresponsible. There's no reason. There's no reason.
They have the x-ray picture in this story. This is KTLA5. And all I know is this is what keeps people who have gerbils or any form of modeling clay, toy cars, anything in their rectum or their abdomen. This is what stops them from going to the hospital because the doctors are just going to laugh at you. So the man visited the hospital in northeastern India.
So he shows up. I like spelling this out because this is the thing, guys. I think that we're going to say this as a public information message to all of our listeners.
Absolutely.
When you go to the doctor, There are things that you just tell them straightforward, right? I used to hide all my shit, but now I tell them being like, yeah, I did shrooms this weekend. I do weed. And they're like, fucking hell yeah, dog. And then they fucking slap her head. Like, how many times I go in there and they put the reggae hat on me with the dreads sewn into them?
You're a cool guy. So you're there, huh? You've adulted to that point. I'm slightly older than you, but I still have not adulted to the point where telling the doctor the truth is cool. I tell him
stuff like, you know, I jerked off before coming here today. And they get upset.
Yeah, that's a little strange, especially when you're going there for their physical or for your physical, although I'm sure they appreciate that. Less risk of getting a bone.
I just want them to understand that, don't worry, the gun's not going to accidentally go off this time.
Absolutely. You're not going to be the second boyfriend to Joe Exotic in Tiger King. You're not going to shoot his head off.
I'm not going to shoot his head off.
Okay.
Oh, wow. It is fun. It is fun to reminisce.
Yeah, it is.
When you go to the doctor, because he showed up and he said that he was experiencing abdominal pain. So they gave him a bunch of laxatives and he was just shitting and shitting, and that was, they don't understand what's going
for
on.
After
5 days of laxatives. And he said, hey, listen, it's not coming out. I don't know what's happening to me. They then we're like, all right, we'll look at we're going to have to do some form of x-ray on you. And then they found the 2 feet of cable coiled around like a serpent inside of his bladder, and it took a long time. They had to go and fucking pull it out, and there was like, if they said right here, if he had just been honest, it would have saved us the trouble and we could have treated him sooner.
Maybe he wanted to have the runs for 5 days. Perhaps that's part of the sexual fetish. As we've talked about, it kind of feels good the first few times before you have to go to the bank and you have to do things in your life. It's like when you lose your cell phone. The first 5 hours of you having your cell phone lost, you do feel a little, there's a small amount of liberation. There is if I miss a text, no fault on me. If I don't get an email,
I'm out of my phone. It's such a beautiful relief. I don't have to deal with it anymore for a couple hours. And then it immediately becomes crushing panic. What's happening? What am I missing?
High anxiety. First few hours stuck on the toilet. I'm not having the worst time. I feel like I'm losing a little bit of weight.
And then it's great.
Oh, what's that? Oh, I have to meet my mother-in-law at Applebee's in an hour.
Meanwhile, you're shitting. You know you got 2 feet of fucking phone charger up your fucking tickle. You're going to have to go to that fucking shark taco. What is it? Shark bone taco?
Sure. If you have a very fancy mother-in-law, I mean, I just go Applebee's, Chili's.
And you're sitting in a Ponderosa knowing that you got that all bunched up right behind your pee hole. I also don't know how you're peeing.
Although, if you do go to Ponderosa and you do have a case of massive diarrhea, they'll probably just make you the head chef. they conducted an endoscopy. Now, my question here is, and please, if you have this fetish, all good, no harm, no foul.
Do
a little bit of a foul here, and it does seem like some harm has occurred. But for the most part, he was the only victim, and so everything is fine. Would this not be the piece de resistance of the fetish? Getting the endoscopy, getting someone to go in there. You have a team of doctors now.
That's wildly interesting.
Show that hole.
I actually don't know.
That's actually
a really good question. I don't know if this was the actual aim of this, or is the idea, because in my mind, I thought that sounding with the pleasure was in putting it in and taking it out. To me, that's why I was going to say, it's like, you know, when this is one of those classic cases of like, you know, when you lose your string in your jogging pants.
I hate that.
Never lose the string in the tip of your dick. Always have a little nub and lawnmower yourself. I'm certain that that is the way. I thought that that's where the pleasure was. But again, maybe I'm just some kind of white bread vanilla piece of shit. Because I feel like the feeling of it tugging against the wall of your bladder might be very interesting.
You know, I don't know how you lose it. It seems extremely difficult.
It must have been kind of intentional. It's got a USB plug on the other side. How does it get lost?
I have a feeling, just looking at the picture that these doctors leak because they have no respect for their patients at all, it looks like he had cut that portion of it off, and it was just
that's why it's there,
the
buddy.
String.
That is why it's there. Yeah, some people say, oh, it's because it attaches to the charger and that's how you get the power in. No, it's there to keep it from sliding up inside of you like some form of crooked ass upside down spaghetti.
Yes. Well, according to the doctor, he said, I have read that people used to get sexual gratification by inserting instruments through the penis.
I have read, quote unquote.
This is one such case. And then he goes on to say, and the psychiatrist can help him beyond this point. So apparently they think this guy needs psychiatric help, which, because he did lose the string, is going to put him that you got to talk to someone just because you lost it inside of your bladder.
Got to talk to someone.
Be safe.
And that is now you've done it. And maybe actually that's where the horniness comes in, is telling him at the very end, go, I did it. Naughty.
Uh-oh.
Being like, well, now we're going to have to cut open your fucking guts.
That's
so congratulations.
Exactly what they did do. Yeah.
All right. So this is a story that this is another one of those. I fucking love our show. This is a story that is out of control. And it's also, I have no clue what's going on. And it's the very beginning.
Okay.
Suspicious bizarre theory emerges on photo of missing mom and son. And this is the story of a woman, Felicity Loveday, 83. She went missing with her son, Adrian Menevau, 56. They went missing in Melbourne as they prepared to leave for a three-day, what they called a cleansing ritual, on December 11th, 2019. So this is a story from still like this. They don't know where the hell this dude is, right?
All right. Wow. It's been quite a while.
There's a picture that was taken by, by a member of their family. There's one last picture that shows the two of them on a boat, which is this old kind of pontoon, fucking rickety-ass looking boat that was, I mean, she's 83 years old, and they are pretty certain from the looks of this picture that the old woman that is in the chair is dead already, right?
Oh,
she
my.
Is very white, kind of propped up, looking mm-hmm. a little like Bernie, right? A little bit, kind of kept up with the life preserver.
Right.
He's whirring the engine. Now, what they don't know, this is where it gets really, really strange. It has emerged that Ms. Loveday was once a senior co-Freemasonry figure and served as what is called the worshipful master at a Southport Queensland lodge presiding over rituals and ceremonies in the mid-2000s. So she is a part of this Freemasonry group. You see several pictures of her with the robes on, and she was in charge of it. Now, the son, they were going to do what they called a cleansing ritual, because Adrian and Felicity, this two men, and they are bosom buddies. They look like haunted roommates.
Right.
Because it's just roommates with your 83-year-old mother. They said that Adrian and Felicity were practicing meditation for some time, and they believed that Felicity, the 83-year-old woman, had awoken black magic, and Adrian, he felt responsible for it. And they said that the boat trip was a means of reversing it.
So the boat trip was going to reverse all the black magic charms. And you're right, Henry. I'm looking at a picture now. She looks a bit like Grandma from National Lampoon's European Vacation when she was in the chair atop the car.
It looks like the woman from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yes, there's definitely, in other words, she looks very dead.
It's very, very dead. And so what they're saying is they went out on the salt water because that's how they would purify whatever ritual that they needed to do, right? So Mrs. Loveday's daughter, Christina Loveday, was the last person to see her brother and mother at the Frankston boat ramp. She told police that although she was initially concerned about the three-day trip, she was reassured when her brother said he would keep in contact. Because she's 83 years old, she had no reason to be in this rickety-ass little boat.
No, definitely not.
On December 13th, she received a text message saying that they were having a quote-unquote good time, which sounds like they were getting hammered and having sex with each other, which they shouldn't have because this is not Pornhub.
No,
right?
Relatives. I haven't seen, has Pornhub amped up the game to Granny Fuck's grandson at this point? Is that
no,
what's going on
No, we should
here?
Also start looking at Pornhub to having a little bit of a problem cleaning up their child porn problem as fast as humanly possible. Switch over to Xvideos.
On
December 15th,
that.
This empty boat was found submerged about 20 kilometers from where the pair left. Constable Ops describe it as definitely not suitable for sleeping in for a three-day trip. So
no.
They put in this little boat. So basically, she had some form of advanced dementia. They don't know what that, but they said that he went out to, but apparently, Mr. Menevau, the son, had purchased a second boat shortly before the trip, did not tell anybody that he had purchased a boat. And that boat is also missing, and so is the son. They found the boat, the little shitty boat that they were in. They found it submerged in the water.
Did they dump Grandma
later.
Over the boat?
Don't know where Grandma is.
Did they literally pull a throw mama from the train, but the aquatic version of it?
Yeah, she got Osama bin Laden'd.
Wow. All
yeah,
because
she didn't
cast
deserve
a
that
black
unless she really did. But I want to see this other movie on the other side of like, well, what fucking portal did fucking him and old lady open up? Are there demons everywhere that we don't know about it? Is that a part of the, is that COVID? Is that the COVID?
I mean, you look at the time. Absolutely. We're talking late December. I believe that's when it was starting to begin and spread throughout China. And I believe that this woman is responsible for COVID. But then shouldn't this have solved the entire problem? They drowned her in salt water. Theoretically, that was supposed to solve the entire pandemic. Maybe she comes back. Like aforementioned Jason Voorhees, perhaps she just resides down there. Maybe she's hanging out with the Bloop or Cthulhu. This might be the best option for her. They could have just caused the end of the world by doing something so stupid as to drowning this witch.
Unless she went to join the old ones, like you said. Now, they are saying it's a little bit of fault. It was found immediately. It was found afterwards, and they are gone. This dude is gone. And I'm going to tell you what, if she is not deceased in this picture, she's looking a little seasick. So I think that immediately they should have been, because, like, you know, is he just lifting dead mom up and putting her in the boat, and the sister's not saying anything, being like, I think mom should be moving, you know? Well, like, I think mom should be like kicking or saying something to responding. Is he just doing the whole like, we're doing fine, Sonny, like doing old school ventriloquism?
If he's a vaudevillian actor, I would give him a lot of credit for doing such a doing something so artistically valid. I don't know. I mean, either way, is he just lampooned on an island right now? Is he living like Tom Hanks in Castaway? Is he painting little faces on basketballs and being friends with them? Perhaps having sex with them, which Tom Hanks never did.
You say that. I honestly do believe that he had sex with Wilson. He at least rubbed it on Wilson, or Wilson watched him have sex with the fish.
You don't think he turned Wilson's little ball head around? You know how easy it is to turn a ball around?
Just for his decency, so he wouldn't share his secrets. Maybe.
I don't know. We're gonna have to ask this guy if they ever find him lampooned on an island somewhere.
I don't know. But now we're seeing. So if you see a fucking gross dude with a really lumpy duffel bag somewhere in Adelaide,
yep,
I'd give him a little bit of check. And if he tells you he's a wizard, being like, well, I'm going to need to see your fucking Keys of Solomon charts before I agree that you are a wizard.
I completely agree with you on that. Well, speaking of wizards and COVID, some people think doctors are wizards, as we talked about in the last Relax Fit episode. It is something magical, isn't it, medicine? Well,
what?
There's a...
It's not, though. It's the opposite.
Well, it's still very magical. There was a former Northwestern University professor. Now, he's in prison currently, but he would like to be released because he is a immunologist. He knows a lot about immunology. He fatally stabbed. Why is he in prison? It's because he fatally stabbed his boyfriend to fulfill an elaborate sexual fantasy. Now, he is saying, I need to be released because I'm the only person that can cure people who have COVID. I'm an immunologist. I'm a superhero in this world.
That's what I do. Yeah, that's what he does. These things.
So his defense attorney says, I'm guessing, this is according to his defense attorney, Barry Shepard. He says, I'm guessing there's no other litigants that have proposed this to the court that their client can possibly aid in a very significant matter. He goes on to say, this man is a leading immunologist and someone who knows lung infections better than anyone else. Cook County Circuit Judges Charles Byrne deferred his decision on whether to release Wyndham Latham, but we shall see. All I know is, if I got COVID, I go to the doctor and I'd be like, where'd you study medical school? And he's just like, the yard, the prison yard. Like, I would just be like, you know what? Give me COVID. I'm going to see what I can do with COVID, see if I can live. I don't really want my doctor to be a person convicted of stabbing his boyfriend to death in a sexual exploit gone wrong.
But who would know the human body better than someone who ended a life? Because then he knows where, how far to take it and how far is too far.
I actually...
I don't know, because it seems like his sexual fetish involves taking his partner to the brink of death. Why would I believe he would even try to cure my COVID when the sicker I get, the harder he gets, and then I just have cum on my face right before I die because he ejaculates?
Kissel, this is where the thing is. The cum part comes when he then just manages to heal you. So yeah, it's coming.
Okay,
it's fucking
a little
fucking
bit.
At the very, what's its butts? It's very, you know, who knows?
Your interesting defense of this doctor gone horribly wrong, I'd rather go to a dentist called Dr. Giggles. He stabbed his partner, Trenton Gornell Durenlau, 70 times. And he did this in a high-rise apartment. So you know this man. He might not have the most... He might not necessarily understand boundaries very well. And when I think of a doctor, I don't like the Seinfeld episode where his doctor does molest him. His dentist does actively molest Jerry Seinfeld, and it's a lull and a raffle.
Yes.
In real life, I don't
That's
want
a
my
horrible
doctor.
Tragedy. It means your whole life is shattered.
It's
your whole
ruined.
Life is shattered immediately if your dentist sucks your dick while you're asleep.
Well, if you can't trust the doctor, then you're done. Because now we can't go to the doctor anymore. Your teeth are going
to
fall out of your face. Your kidneys are going to fail. Everything's going to fall apart.
I think that this guy, I don't want this guy to be my doctor, but I think that if you're in jail for white collar crimes or like one of those kind of more simple crimes and you learn to be a doctor in jail, I might take a stab at it. I remember I went to a dentist once deep in Brooklyn, and I went to a dentist, and the dentist, he wasn't paying attention to me. I had no insurance at the time, so I had to just like pay for whatever
I
could get.
Why would he pay attention to you? Yeah, you're no insurance actor.
I'm garbage. I'm just a garbage piece of shit to this guy. I'm sitting in the chair, and I distinctly remember he wasn't looking at me. He was literally absentmindedly stabbing my mouth with the hook as he was watching Fattest Babies in America segment on, I want to say it was Maury Povich. It was them with like a 90-pound 4-year-old, and he's just like,
that kid's too fat.
Meanwhile, he's viciously stabbing me to the point where I had to take his hands and I pulled the instruments out of my mouth, and I was like, I have to leave. I have to go. You are just cutting me.
Well, in the doctor's defense, obviously, you got to stop and watch that segment. But the key word is stop.
Pull the instruments out. Yeah, and we'll all sit and roast it. We'll all sit and enjoy it and talk about it and have a cup of coffee. But you're in the middle of it actively lollygagging as if you got money on whether or not this kid was going to die by the time it's 15 years old.
Oh, definitely. If they keep that weight up. Yeah, I miss those segments. They would always present all. They treated those kids like Donald Trump treated the national championship team. They just got them like thousands of dollars yes. worth of Burger King. McDonald's and just put it all on the table in front of them. Of Let's course, the 2-year-old's going to eat it. He's a champion.
So, yeah, he doesn't know.
Just so you know, again, this doctor, he does seem a little bit scarier than even I assumed before. He lured his boyfriend up to the apartment. He stood in the doorway.
You don't need to lure your boyfriend.
He lured him. I don't know.
He doesn't need to lure him. He's already there.
He put spam on a string and watched him slowly come up the stairs chasing said spam.
Natalie doesn't need to
lure
me into having sex with her. She just arrives with something vaguely with her, me seeing the shape of her body, and I'm ready to go.
Well, he stood in the doorway to the bedroom with his cell phone in hand as Latham repeatedly stabbed Cornell Durenlau as he slept. According to prosecutors, Latham had asked Warren to video record the killing, but he never did. That was another person that was involved in all of this.
What?
As part of a plea deal, this other dude, Warren, agreed to testify against Latham in return for a recommendation from prosecutors that he only be sentenced to 45 years. We got multiple people involved in the stabbing. That's what I'm saying. And now this doctor wants to get out and cure people with COVID.
Maybe it's time for him to put his knife blows where they'll do best,
also,
in the surgery room.
They're saying Warren was a third-party custodian, which I don't believe means he was a janitor.
What is a third-party custodian? Is that just a man with a broom? That's what that sounds like.
I don't know.
It just sounds like it's a man with a fucking... It's just a man with a vendetta, a bucket, a mop, and only one pair of pants, and he doesn't wear pants when his pants are dirty. You know what
All
I'm saying?
All I know is, if Andrew Warren, that's this man's full name, the guy who was supposed to film but didn't, if he was a real custodian, I think he adds more value to society than this immunologist who was obviously just going to kill people with COVID. Because what do custodians do? They clean. And what do we need right now? Clean surfaces.
Clean surfaces.
Clean surfaces.
We really do. All right, speaking of clean surfaces, this guy will never have to deal with a surface ever again. This is the FBI. Says a guy blew his hand off with a bomb, possibly planned for an attack on quote-unquote hot cheerleaders. This comes
really?
From BuzzFeed News. Cole Carini told FBI agents he had a lawnmower accident, which is a lot. That's like if you just... I can see, you know, Dorf does lawn care.
Yeah.
And how scary that would be. But when agents searched his home, they found blood and chunks of human flesh splattered on a bedroom wall.
This guy, by the way, if you haven't seen his mugshot, his just beneath his eyes, if he was the bottom of a pizza crust, of a brick oven pizza crust, that's a perfect crispy crust. You're going to get that crunch. You're going to get that snap when you have to fold the triangle so you can get it in your mouth, because you can't eat pizza with a knife and fork unless it's a deep dish. We all know that. He really has a good burn going.
He looks like an asshole. Yeah. He looks like a Looney Tune person, like, blew up. Like, it is, like, they didn't even try to fix him up. So this 23-year-old Virginia man who appeared to be planning an incel bomb attack on hot cheerleaders, that's just, they're throwing also, incel in there.
They do throw the incel in there, but it's also, like, this whole idea of hot cheerleaders, and this is not demeaning cheerleaders of any ilk, but, like, I think it's more of a stereotype. A lot of times they're quite, you know.
Attractive.
They can
They're all attractive. They're all attractive.
They can be.
You have to be, at least, if you are a cheerleader, you are a representative of the team. So you are fun. You are full of energy. You are athletic. You are enthusiastic.
I feel like you're making this, you're basing this opinion off of porn, as you base many opinions off of. And I am also guilty. I just don't know if that's the case anymore. But nonetheless, it does not matter.
I love them. I love each one of them.
Gotcha.
So the late Tuesday evening, Carini went to a medical center near his home in Richlands, Virginia, with one hand missing, several fingers amputated, and shrapnel wounds to his neck and throat.
Jeez.
When asked if he remembered what happened to put him in the hospital, authorities wrote in the criminal complaint, Carini told the FBI agents that he was mowing his yard and the mower flipped over in such a way that it, and this is added, dragged his hands into the blades, and because the blades were spinning so fast, it acted as a bomb. Which is, this is not, again, this is not a Wile E. Coyote scenario. This is real life. But when
this
FBI agents,
you got to come up with that story before you meet the FBI.
This is,
you can't,
what
just
he
be
did.
Spitballing.
He was in shock because he lost most of his hands because his shitty little Riddler plan went awry. So they discovered, when FBI agents searched his home, they found a shocking scene, a trail of blood leading investigators to a bedroom where blinds had been shredded by shrapnel. Everything was covered in blood. They said they discovered explosive chemicals and a box of rusty nails that could be used as shrapnel, PVC pipes, 6-inch high grass at his home, so it showed no signs of having been freshly mowed.
That's is the real key right there. This
that's
is
the
when,
killer right there.
This is, and, so 6-inch high grass at the home. This is your Columbo moment. This is when you believe
him. Wait a second. It seems that there's been no lawnmowing happening at this. Excuse me, ma'am. Let me just ask you one last thing.
And then immediately
you
he's just
him.
Like, I'm trying to blow up their sweet little pussies. But here's a video of him on, there's a picture of him on Facebook holding up a bunch of $20 bills, which he looks so badass. Now, in a nearby shed,
he's got at least $300 of $20 bills, though, Henry. I mean, let's give some credit where credit
is
due. And you know for a fact his parents are driving because he's in the back seat.
He's in the back seat.
Wearing his seatbelt, which is
good. Safe.
But he's definitely his parents driving.
Yes, that is a van that he is in. In a nearby shed, authorities found a crumpled letter that discussed a suicide bomber walking through a shopping mall while concealing deadly objects to target a stage of hot cheerleaders. Now, this comes from, this is directly from a quote from his little writing. I will not be afraid of the consequences, read the letter. No matter what, I will be heroic. I will make a statement like Elliot Rodgers did, he thought to himself.
And, of course, he spelled Elliot Rodgers wrong, which really pisses me off because you know how he spelled it. Like my boy Aaron Rodgers on the GP Packers, on the GB Packers, not the Green Packers. That's an alien race. The Green Bay Packers, he spelled it like Aaron Rodgers. You cannot defame the great Rodgers name like this. Get Elliot out of there.
But it seems that he at least lost his fucking girlfriend in this, which is really a shame.
And again, isn't the whole, this is why we actually have incel is a very interesting term right now. That's what I
yes.
will say. If he has a girlfriend, then isn't he not an incel?
No,
isn't
I mean his point? Fucking hand. I mean his fucking
oh,
hand
mean
that
his
he blew
hand.
Off his fucking body.
You blew off his masturbating hand. Well, we don't
yes.
know which hand was blown off or if he's right or left-handed. So that's just speculation, Mr. Zabrowski.
Hey, Daniel Day-Lewis learned how to paint with his feet, and that was just for a goddamn movie. You can learn how to jerk off with anything. Well,
oh my God. Well, either way, this is according to his brother, Neil Carini. He says, my family is trusting in God and godly people. Please pray for my brother. Thank you.
It is. I honestly, you could pray for him. I guess he could deserve it. It doesn't do anything. So yes, pray for him.
This might be the exact wake up call this boy needed. He obviously has extreme mental issues he's got to work through. He's got anger problems. He's got a lot of stuff going on.
Blowing his hand off might be, it literally might be the thing that saves his life. Where he gets his thing called off, and maybe he could sit and realize that he's a little bitch and that he was super mad about all of this bullshit. It's like he doesn't even look that fucking bad. He needs to get his shit together. He needs to learn how to play a fucking hop. He needs to learn how to play a fucking instrument. He needs to get a fucking job. He needs to pull his shit together. And maybe, because who knows? There's plenty of work at the Amazon factory with people with one hand.
Oh my God. And you can imagine all the games you can play when you're just like, oh, help me in the shredder, you know, and then you get him like a bunch of ketchup and ham coming out of your hand. And
you guys. You know what I mean? Yeah, classic. You could be the funny guy in the room if you want to.
You could be. And if he has any athletic prowess whatsoever, looking at him, I don't think he's going to make it in the NFL. But don't forget, Jason Pierre-Paul blew off his hand while playing with fireworks, not intended to hurt anyone, but he's still in the NFL. And there's another person as well with one hand, no fault of his own and whatsoever. He's playing in the NFL. So if he does want to be an athlete, he could still be a Chuck. What do they call those people again? Daves, Dans?
A Chad.
Chads.
Yeah. Or the guy from the drummer from Def Leppard.
That guy.
I actually, would he also lose one of his feet?
What?
I think he might have lost both. Did he lose a foot?
Yeah, I think it was just, you know, when you get a new toy and now they have all the detachable wrists and limbs and stuff, but then, you know, you're just going to end up like losing everything. He's in toy like age 5 years old, like it's all done. Like what, the kid swallowed one of his arms, his foot's gone. Like he's never going to be put together again.
He's doing very well. I think he's still alive.
Has anyone ever kept all of the parts to a Mr. Potato Head, for example? It's not possible. Over the years,
that all life should work, that we're all just going to slip. That's just us, Kessel. It's because we're going to get fucking diabetes.
Penis.
That's why. That's how. That's called losing a section. He did not deserve to lose sections of his body at a time.
No.
We will do the things that it takes to deserve slowly shedding body parts as time goes.
Shopping for humans is hard, but shopping for your dog is easy, thanks to Bark. It's because dog can't give you its opinion. But every month we deliver dogs and treats just for your pup because they deserve to be spoiled. And then the dog shows you what they like. It's incredible. Only I could teach Wendy to use an iPad. She's so resistant. She scratches it up, barks at it, barks at me. But if she could use it, she'd order BarkBox for herself. At Bark, we send your dog a whole new collection of toys and treats made just for them every single month. And for a limited time, we'll double your first box for free. How about that? Wendy loves her little toys. Carmi has become quite a terrorist when it comes to her toys. And she's a murderer. She rips these things up. But, you know, we got some high quality, tough toys from BarkBox, and she absolutely loves them. And our family could not be happier. And if you just want a slice of this joy, you got to go to BarkBox. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/left. That's right. You can sign up now at BarkBox.com/left for this exclusive offer. This ad is now over. Let's go back to petting our dogs. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Are you finding it harder to don latex and go out to the spank club at night? I know I am. Maybe it's that my rump has gotten softer, or my need for punishment by a big bone daddy is just not as strong as it used to be. But honestly, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin. I know, because when I go to the guy that hangs me upside down by my ankles and he plays with my nostrils with a feather and calls me his little panty boy, I'm like, what am I getting out of this? Like, why is this not doing this for me right now? I need to talk to my therapist. Because what's the right amount of socializing for you? I mean, me, I require at least 3,000 to 5,000 fans cheering me on in order for me to feel like I'm worth anything. But other people need less. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life. It doesn't drain your battery. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LastPod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LastPod. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Wouldn't it be amazing if you were new to America, you could quickly learn how to speak English so that you could get a lap dance and a hot dog from a woman in Long Island? God, I wish that was me. All the way from fancy Berlin, all the way down to nice, cozy Long Island. So I know when I go to Germany, and I hope to get a lap dance from a sausage saleswoman, I will be able to do it. Thanks to Babbel. Thank you, Babbel. Over 10 million subscriptions sold. Now it's 10 million and one. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LEFT. Get 55% off at babbel.com/LEFT, spelled BABBEL.com/LEFT. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Just a quick side note here. In Indiana, there was a missionary. His name is Donald C. Miller. If you want to know what the most haunted place in the world is, it's probably this place. FBI toured or searched his museum, and they found over 2,000 human bones that he had taken from ancient Native American burial sites.
Not so, a good idea. If you see
no
bones from an old Native American burial site, don't take them. Let him stay. Because he must just sit in his house and just hear like, get out! Get out! Like all the fucking Native American songs and whistles go through the house as his furniture slides around. And I guess you just get used to it like the subway.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't even hear the cranking of the subway on the tracks as they haven't lubed them up in a decade. I don't see the rats anymore eating full hot dogs or someone's ear. I do want to point this out in this story. Amy Moore, that's one of Miller's friends, again, this missionary, she said, I mean, this man, he's an amazing piece of history. He's an artifact himself because he's 91 years old and he has just recently died. So she kind of roasted him a little bit. Anyway, we've been talking a lot about burial robberies, and they are still going on today. So be careful out there. And if you do have a burial site and you want to protect those bones, you got to get a chihuahua.
Got to get a chihuahua because they are surprisingly little vicious creatures. I've seen Wendy turn into her animal self. Like normally Wendy acts like a cat or like a doorstop or like just like a human. Just like she just cuddles. She's a little fucking warm like heating lamp. That's all Wendy is. But when she gets crazy, she like puffs up to 2 times her size. It's weird looking. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. This other story, just quickly talk about, I mean, this is wild. I want to go into deeper, like, deeper. God damn it. I want to go into, like, I want to look into this more. This is the decade-old quest. This is from WAPO. The decade-old quest for a hidden treasure chest is over. The millionaire who hid it says it was just found. This is fucking wild.
Yes.
This is a guy. A New Mexico art and antiques collector announced 10 years ago that he had hit a chest containing $2 million in riches deep in the Rocky Mountains. He told people to go hunt for it. And hundreds and thousands of adventurers did just that. At least 5 people died while looking for this.
Dude, this is crazy. So, okay, I have a question for you. You say you hide treasure. And you're like, if anyone finds it, they can keep it. 5 people die searching for it. Mm-hmm. At what point do you just be like, I know where it is. I'm just going to take it back. Like, how many people have to die in search of your hidden treasure before at some point you're complicit in their death?
I think you just become more and more powerful each time someone dies looking for your hidden treasure, because you're becoming like an old school, like, pharaoh. This is weird. This is story from lore. The idea of, like, just sitting up being like, find my treasure and see what adventure abounds. Like, it's incredible. These people signed up for the adventure.
I guess so. I mean, it is Curly's gold. They are out there. They're looking for it. I'm sure Billy Crystal, I'm sure everyone out there was telling some really great jokes. I just feel like if I hid treasure and five people died looking for it, I would say I would make a better map. That's all I would just be like, here's a better map just so no one has to die.
It was supposed to be difficult. I think it'd be different if he was like in a sniper nest above the treasure, just fucking shooting whoever got close. That's the game I would play. The man's name is Forrest Fenn. He hid a 42-pound bronze chest, and it was finally unearthed over the weekend. The search is over, Fenn, 89, wrote on his website. The treasure has been found. The finder of the treasure wanted to remain anonymous because he was one of an estimated 350,000 people who, over the last decade, have risked their lives in search of the buried bounty. This thing is crazy. I also want to... My one thing is that I want to find out all the various places he stole things that were inside of this chest. I want to see how other people feel like who does this shit belong to? It was an elusive 13th century treasure chest filled with rare artifacts, precious jewels, gold, rubies, diamonds, other valuables. He said that he had it over the years and he just put it in a fucking box. He said, Fenn said that the treasure was found Saturday and that the man who uncovered the chest sent him a photograph as evidence of the discovery.
Damn, all right. I wonder how new technology has played a role in this as well. If you're a treasure hunter, reach out, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. I didn't even think that people did this anymore, other than Israel Keyes, who would hide his treasures, which were a gun and a knife and other disgusting nerdy things that he would keep around, the trees of the neighborhoods that he would go torment. I did not realize that treasure hunting was still such a thing. 350,000 people, only five died? Now I reverse my statement. That's not so bad.
That's what I'm saying. And I also, in my mind, we have billionaires coming out of the woodwork to fucking deeply embarrass themselves talking about social issues that they are completely spaced away from humankind too much to even speak about. This is the type of shit that billionaires should be doing. If they are going to exist, and I don't even think that they should exist, but if they are going to exist, this is the fun shit. He wrote an autobiography called The Thrill of the Chase, where he put clues in a 24-line poem. And he said that the purpose of the hunt was to encourage people to immerse themselves in the wilderness and engage in an old-fashioned adventure. This is many people thought it was a hoax.
I mean, now that you say that, he wrote a book, you get people reading, you get people outdoors. Everyone, you know, there's a lot of masculine people out there who are treasure hunters who are forced to read a poem. That's very good for them.
You actually were truth. You actually were close to the truth. The police chief, this comes from ABC News, a police chief actually pleaded with the author who hid treasure to call off the hunt after two people died in 2017.
He let three more die.
He's like, please stop it. Please stop this treasure hunt. And he's like, no, I refuse. It is about the adventure. It is about the thrill of the chase.
What's a treasure to a detective, though, Henry? A corpse.
A corpse. That's what they wish. They wish it was a corpse. And this is where he said, this is one of the beginning of the poem.
Okay.
Begin it where warm waters halt, and take it in the canyon down. Not far, but too far to walk. Put in below the home of Brown. I think it's underneath the toilet.
It sounds like it's in an outhouse, yeah.
Yeah, the hole of Brown.
The hole of Brown. Yes, indeed. It's been near my butthole this entire time.
It'd no one's seen it for 10 years. What if it was just underneath a fucking porter potty at the Thunderdome? Like, it's just underneath. It is just in the piss trough of a hockey stadium.
Oh, my goodness. That would be a rough day to be a treasure hunter, unless you're into both of those things.
But this dude, Forrest Fenn, it's like one of those, like, he has one of those dens filled with treasures antique and all sorts of, like, weird little bottles and piles of gold-looking things and shit. These people he probably did horrible shit to make this money.
Not always. Sometimes you just play the market and it goes crazy. One billionaire and the billionaire has to do this. And you get exactly $2 billion so you can give $1 billion away.
That's the idea.
That's it. That's all we need in this
world. In my mind, I feel like you should, give a fucking billion away. Who gives a shit? $1 billion is going to, what is that even? That's not even money at that point. It's like, what's the point? I know it's about the pursuit of it, but it's fucking absolutely ridiculous. It's fake. Money is fake.
Well, tell that to my health insurance.
Yeah, I know.
All right, and just the final story here that we have. Henry mentioned diabetes. And this dude in Belgium, man, if he doesn't get it, I don't think any of us will. This prank is one of the craziest things ever. It's also been happening for 10 years. He's a 65-year-old Belgian dude. Apparently, people keep on ordering delivery pizzas to his house. They keep on ordering pizzas to his home, and he doesn't know who it is. He doesn't order the pizza. He doesn't want the pizza, and he doesn't know how to stop it. This is a quote.
It has been happening for 10 years.
This is a long con. It's obviously his sadistic neighbor. It seems like it might be like the chick from Serial Mom, just knowing that this is working, driving him nuts. This is what Jean von Landingham had to say. He said, "I cannot sleep anymore. I start shaking every time I hear a scooter on the street." He goes on to say, "I dread that someone will come to drop off hot pizzas yet another time."
Buddy is also getting the pizzas, and they have no fucking clue where they're coming from, and they keep showing up, and it's traumatizing this Dutch person. Belgium? It is traumatizing him. He doesn't understand, but it's like, I guess you do have to pay for each one, right? Like, you have to pay for every single time they show up.
How many pizza places are there, number one? Don't all of them know that this man never orders pizza at this address? It has to be a pizza magnet. The Herman Cain of Belgium has got to be behind this.
We already know the one, Kissel. We know who it is.
Oh my God, don't even say it.
We know it's the fucking Papa, man.
You think this comes down to it?
I don't know what the Papa's doing, because Papa's already, there's how many times since the beginning of COVID-19 have we received the meme of Papa John being the cause of all of this chaos? And for a while, I was like, this is fucking hack. I don't think that this is true. I don't think that he was a part of this or had anything to do with this. I don't think he was as far reaching as he thought he did. But I honestly think something like this is more of him just practicing.
I could see that. This is, of course, Papa John a little bit out of touch, I think. Touring, giving us a virtual TikTok tour of his billionaire mansion. All of the Papa John's garlic sauce bought him all of that.
You just go look at his TikTok and see the shit that fucking built out of poisoning us. Literally just making us have cancer. He has that fucking huge spinning statue.
It's amazing.
In the front of his home. It's inspiring.
It's something. It's inspiring to a point. Although, in my mind, you get that when you cure cancer or when you're like a renowned.
I love to
but,
see
you know,
that.
The sad thing is, Henry, it's never the renowned historian. Like, when you think about it, you're always like, oh, the historian must be in his mansion in his beautiful library. No, they live in Cobble Hill in a really tiny apartment that they got grandfathered in so they could stay there.
Yes. That's what happens to a historian. They are never paid. And they should know that from studying history, that it never pays. You have to find a way to get in there. The main way to make money as a historian, I believe, is showing your asshole on OnlyFans. do it.
I would never want to see a historian's butthole. It's used too much. It's sat on all the time. Van Langdingham.
And spread. It's the people's asshole.
It is. Van Langdingham, he calls this pizza terror. And he also has said that other fast food, including kebabs, have arrived as well.
Jesus fucking Christ. When is this shit going to end? I think we should send our troops to Belgium.
Sure.
And rectify this. I think this is a good use of terminal force. You remember SEAL Team 6?
I do.
How many of them were mysteriously murdered after the death of Osama bin Laden, the quote-unquote death of Osama bin Laden? Osama bin Laden, Jeffrey Epstein in the same grave right now, right?
Well, I'm not sure about all of that.
I'm ready to go today. I've had a lot of spring. You know what gets me there? Spring Hill Jack Coffee. I just want to say again, thank you to the people at Spring Hill Jack Coffee for just keeping me just on edge enough to make my family tiptoe around me, but me ready for the radio.
And also able to hear the tiptoes. You got to be super aware. You got to know when they're scared, and you can
still be annoyed by them even further. That's how big and light and powerful my tiptoes can be.
So just lastly, the Belgian police, they are aware of the situation. They have not charged anyone. They're on it.
Because they eat waffles for lunch there.
Yes, they do, and breakfast and dinner. And law enforcement, they do believe that it's someone that they both know, and they hope to one day unveil them. Van Langdegem says it will not be their best day. Whoever this is, he has ended this with a threat.
Oh, I think it's the opposite. I think it will exactly, because I know that if I was doing this, and honestly, I want to steal this. I think that this is one of the funnest things in the world to do to somebody, to slowly but surely psychologically torture them. I would hold it to my chest until my death. Bed. And at the very end, and hopefully it's somebody who I'm really close to. I'm looking at you, Kissel. Wait till we're neighbors. And then, like, really, really close to. And then eventually be like, you remember the pepperoni wave you got in 2030, Kissel? It was me. It's been me all along.
Oh, my.
Got you, fucker. I got you.
Got you, fucker. Yeah, your last words will just be got you, fucker. I know that already. And I my last action as a free man will be suffocating you in that very bed where you utter those words. And then I will go and I will be incarcerated. All right. I think it's time for Hero of the Week. All right. We're actually going to do another doubler, because why not? And the point of this doubler is it's just called fun breaking and entering. Okay,
so it's a new type of breaking and entering. I don't mind breaking and entering if it makes a point.
It's harmless. If it's harmless, it is for
sometimes
the
it is, and sometimes it can be scary.
Yes, absolutely. So in San Diego, California, this dude broke into a bank, but he didn't want no money. He's like, I'm good. He's homeless, but he still said, I don't care about the money. Instead, the guy broke into the bank so he could use the branch's microwave, which I think it's nice. This man must have scouted this bank. I don't know a lot of banks that have microwaves.
How does he break into a bank?
You know, that's a question for another day. It was a San Diego Wells Fargo. So, you know, whoever works there at security is getting hammered for some reason, just because they got Fargo in the name and that's all people do out there. So why did he do this? Well, it's because he needed to heat up Hot Pockets, because he had a package of two Hot Pockets. One package has two in there. Don't think they're screwing you over. And he wanted to eat those scrumptious delights. A reporter asked him on the scene, was it worth it? A reporter asked. And what he said back was it worth it? Yeah, it was worth it. He said, a Hot Pocket? Hell yeah. So there you go. One of the heroes of the week. The man
destabilized the bank one Hot Pocket at a time.
Absolutely. He ate both of the microwavable turnovers while inside the bank. That's exactly what you got to be doing there. I would say steal a couple of tens if you can. And the other hero of the week is a man who got hammered and broke into the Capron Park Zoo. He had gotten drunk and wanted to see the monkeys. His name is Joseph Villa, 52 years old, lives in Attleboro. Got hammered, walked by the zoo, was like, shit, man, there's monkeys right over.
Monkeys. You know, I'll tell you what, we were. I'll fucking climb up there, because I tell you what I heard. Our little bird told me that I used to be a monkey.
And you know this man was hammered because the arrest happened at 8:43 in the morning. So he is on at least hour 25.
Man, if he just fucking waited an hour 15 minutes, he could have just went to the zoo.
I mean, it's very fun. The enforcement said,
if he got to 8:30, this is the one thing as a buddy.
The zoo is closed because of coronavirus.
Why? Animals can't get it.
I guess they can get it. I have no idea.
We're not fucking. Oh, man.
I don't know what the rules are for a zoo. I say open them. No animals were affected or harmed during this bizarre incident. So therefore, I say, Leave him alone. Part of the Zeus fence was broken, and officers believe Villa damaged the fence around 7:30 p.m. Monday. On surveillance footage, police saw a man who was later identified as Villa walking around the zoo. He allegedly climbed into a rowboat and paddled out to a large pond where there are two lemur islands. Lemurs are a beautiful primate, of course. And Villa's visit with the lemurs wasn't meant to be, however. He wasn't able to reach the island because he lodged the boat underneath a footbridge. He then had to exit the boat and swim through the lemur pond back to shore, at which point he exited to the zoo in the same hole.
Wait a second. So the lemurs are just left out at the zoo?
On their own island, I guess.
But I mean, like, they just stay in the zoo. They don't, like, take them and put them in a facility or something. Like, they literally just still, they are just at the zoo.
If you get a chance to see this man, he looks like Artie Lang 5 years ago. So he'll probably get a squishy nose at some point. But this is definitely not this man's first rodeo.
Let me see. I'm trying to find this man breaks into zoo, Joseph Villa. I'm just going to see the look of this man's face. I love it. Ooh, yeah, man. Wow. He looks like a fucking Dick Tracy villain. He is not going to do well later on in his life. But no, this is the difference. You know what? Okay. My only thing about my pushback is if he was like a young guy, I'd be kind of like into it. But there's something about this big alcoholic scary, he looks like one of my dad's scary friends.
Yeah,
like he looks like a guy that,
like,
I would
one
not,
that's not allowed over, or if he is allowed over, it's a backyard barbecue and you can't come in the house.
But yes, he looks like one of those guys being like, this guy's scary. Other question
maybe neither of those people are really heroes, but the idea of
living freedom,
the life, breaking your barriers.
Wow. And getting, good move. Good pivot.
It's about that.
Do you think that would be kind of fun for them to take the animals out of the zoo on little COVID-19 tours where you take the animals in, like, kind of like old school, like the way the circus used to come through, where you put them in like kind of like little like mobile kind of carts, right? Where you can drive them through your neighborhood and then everybody can come out of their house and take a look at the animals.
That's what the guy did when he kidnapped all the kids in Batman Returns.
Ah, that is the Penguin's plan.
Yeah, that's what that weird ass does. But, you know, it would work. It'll definitely get the kids' attention.
But what if it was nice?
I think that sounds great. I love that. We could say that about damn near everything.
And damn near fucking everything. And I'm going to get my, we'll just ruin everything. I'm going to go into some listener letters.
Number one,
as I got some, this is a little bit later on, but we talked about the black hat man.
Yes.
For a period of time. And there was a couple of interesting responses we got from a couple of psychologists. One, who I thought was very, very interesting, was number one is that the liminal state between wakefulness and sleep is actually very stressful because our brains are kind of caught in this fight or flight response because our awareness is up, but our bodies can't move. Mm. But one thing that's interesting is kind of little depictions of the hat man's face and body and why they lack clear faces. Our brains, this comes from a letter. Our brains actually suck at creating faces. Many of the hallucinations that occur not only with sleep paralysis, but are common with schizophrenia and other mental illness, they lack clear faces. They're often obscured, lack detail, or brains fuck up features in some way. The hat man's face, described as either obscured completely or with exaggerated features, fits well into what psychologists expect in humanoid hallucinations. The features that do appear, sunken eyes and large open mouth, fit the description of a starving predator, or could be an evolutionary template for quote unquote scary face locked away in our reptilian brains.
Hmm.
The other one they say it's like what they call a visual release hallucination, or Charles Bonnet syndrome, which was thought to be rare, but is now considered underreported and probably relatively common. Very interesting idea that these release hallucinations can occur in people without formal syndrome, but who are sleep deprived, have visual problems, or just in the dark and just like normal people. They said there was something very interesting, right? There are a variety of different kinds of bizarre hallucinations that are seen with this syndrome, but commonly they tend to appear tall, stretched out. The brain is thought to compensate for this by adding a top hat to make sense of the bizarrely tall, thin person. And I thought that was very interesting.
Very interesting indeed. Thank you so much for sharing that. Black Hat Man has certainly given us a lot of mileage. It's a fascinating thing. And you're right, man. The hollowed out eyes, the big gaping mouth, the black hole that it leaves, it's scary as hell.
Oh, and we got some responses back about Semen X, right? They were talking about the pills that can make your cum bigger.
Yeah.
On the last Relax Fit episode.
Does it work?
But they say apparently it is a dietary supplement. This comes from a wonderful listener. A lot of times there's a dietary supplement. It consists of zinc, magnesium, and calcium. Hmm. There's a few academic studies out there regarding the combo and its effect of semen production and ejaculation. The reason I'm aware of this phenomenon is thanks to a hunky bodybuilder I used to sleep with. He and his lifter bros all took ZMC as a part of their vitamin regimen for working out and building muscle. But all noticed that once they started taking it, they were shooting off huge loads.
Whoa!
That, this is his words, she said, that would on occasion rocket across the room. Apparently, it also gave them really vivid, lucid dreams.
Well, it might not be the safest thing you could ever digest, but all right. I mean, I guess that's one way to sell it. I do like that Pornhub is like, fuck muscle, we'll give you cum.
I just don't, again, we said this last time, I don't need more cum.
I don't think anyone does.
I don't. I mean, some people do. Some people like the aesthetic. This is a weird one. When I was in ninth grade walking to the bus stop, it was still dark out and eerily calm, no traffic and very quiet. But the second I stepped onto the street from my driveway, it felt like there was some kind of mild static electricity in the air. Anyways, my bus stop was half a block from my house on the corner, with one street light above it and some pine trees and shrubs that lined the street. I was looking at the ground as I walked up the hill towards the bus stop, and just before I crossed the street, I finally looked up to see if the kid I shared this bus stop with was already there, and he wasn't. Instead, standing directly under the streetlight was this 3.5 foot tall alien facing its body toward me, staring at me. I stopped in my tracks and stared for a second, paralyzed with fear. This thing was like 3.5 feet tall with grayish, bluish, whitish skin. I could see blue veins under its skin, which seemed almost translucent or thin. No clothing, no hair, no noticeable genitalia. Its head was large with a sort of flattish top that became bulbous around the forehead area, tapered in a bit at the temple. Then bulbous cheekbones and the taper down to a flattish chin, and the eyes were larger and more spaced out than human eyes. I didn't see a nose, and the mouth was like a small slit, no lips, and closed.
Hmm.
The arms were too long for its body and hung at its side. I guess I didn't take note of its hands. It kind of had a flat chest with small pectoral muscles with no nipples.
Oh, my.
And a wider protruding lower stomach. This is very interesting. Widest hips, wide-set hips, short legs look more like how when a hooved animal stands on their hind legs than with humanoid feet. The thing just stood there under the streetlight facing me and staring at me and only 20 to 30 feet away from me. I would guess I stood there for maybe 3 to 5 seconds staring at it, frozen with fear and confusion, trying to figure out what the fuck I was staring at. When my brain caught up with me, I ran as fast as I could back home, just inconsolably crying and hyperventilating. My parents were confused and horrified to what happened to me for the 3 minutes I was gone. My mom had to help me walk to the nearest chair. I didn't go to school. My dad stayed home because I was too scared to be alone. And after I calmed down, I took a nap and woke up 8 hours later to my mom when she got back from work. Very, very interesting. I love those kinds of things. And here's one more of those stories. I just love this fucking shit.
So was the alien going to school?
Don't be fucking ridiculous, Kissel.
I don't know. Anything can happen.
Don't you dare be ridiculous.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sending in those listener emails. We got one more for you.
Now, this is strange. This is one of those, I don't know, like, this is kind of a chicken or the egg thing. Like, tell me what you think.
Okay.
My mother is convinced that I've been an abductee since early childhood. I frequently had horrific night terrors in which I would scream about bugs attacking my body. Several times the night terrors got so bad that she took me to the ER as a toddler, where I was given heavy sedatives and sent home. She also said I regularly told her about the very tall man who would watch me from my doorway. Toddler me described him as having insect-like eyes and being so tall he had to hunch to fit in the doorframe. Frankly, my mother is very new agey, and I didn't believe these stories recounted to me in middle school. I did vaguely recall a creepy tall man, but the night terrors themselves stopped when I turned 4. This wasn't until I had an experience as a teenager that leaves me without any rational answers to this day. I was 13 years old, reading from my bedroom. It was midday, as I remember the sun shining down on me as I lay reclined in bed. I remember feeling foggy all of a sudden, like in a daydream. For some unknown reason, some unknown period of time, what brought me back to full consciousness was looking down on my legs and realizing they were covered in blood.
Whoa.
It wasn't just my legs. Blood was streaming down my arms and my chest, but I was not in any pain. I ran downstairs hysterical when I got my mother. She began frantically wiping at the blood to try and figure out where the wound was, but by this point the blood had covered most of my body and we couldn't find a source. My mother rushed me into the shower to get better handle of the situation. It was there that we discovered that I was covered head to toe in hundreds of needle pricks. My body looked like someone had taken a sewing needle and stitched through all my limbs and core. I am 33 now, and I have exhausted my brain trying to find any rational explanation for this experience. It also is burned into my mother's memory. I would have thought it was a hallucination. To her, it was the final proof of what she had always expected since my childhood. And I have yet to come up with a better theory.
Damn. All right. Thank you so much.
Who knows? Who fucking knows?
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Side Stories. Keep the emails coming. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Hope everyone is doing all right out there. Another week ahead of us here on the Last Podcast Network.
Apocalypse Radio coming at you from a bunker deep. Not that deep inside of Los Angeles. No. Actually, it is above ground.
Yeah, we're all elevated. Yeah.
Yeah, we really are. Just remember, you got to love your life. Yeah, you spend most of your weekend watching videos of police abuse, people beating the shit out of each other. But you got to love your fellow man. That's why it's more important than ever to love your fellow man. Give him some support.
Absolutely.
Go out there. You got to live every day as if the shit was about to go down. Are you the person that you need to be for the post-apocalyptic world? Learn how to hold your breath. That's the only thing I could say, right?
Sure.
Learn how to swim.
Learn how to snorkel. It's not that easy.
Learn how to snorkel. It helps on vacation, and it helps fighting the government. Sure. And you're going to want to laugh every once in a goddamn while. Because when it comes down to it, revolution, it's not going to be without some form of titters and tatters here and there. So we got to get out there, and we have to laugh as the statues fall.
Absolutely. Live, laugh, love, folks. And of course, if you are in Austin, laugh when you drive past the Alex Jones studio. I just watched somebody try to infiltrate it, and it was really amazing.
Not easy to do. No, I bet he has a lot of security.
Yes, he does. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.